you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey guys, what's up? And welcome back to another Coffee Talk. For today, I figured it's been a little while since we've done like a Q&A. I don't think I've done a Q&A in a really long time. And I felt like, you know, with the year winding down, I was collecting a bunch of different things that we could talk about in our Coffee Talks. And one thought that came to mind was, let's just let you guys choose what we're going to talk about. So I went on Instagram and asked you guys to send in any questions that you might have. And we're going to go through them today and answer them. Now, I haven't looked at any of them prior to, so I might get rambly. I have not pre-planned any of these, but let's jump in. So one question I got is how to be happier in everyday life because it feels like I'm just kind of going through the motions. Okay, I feel like this is relatable. I feel like all of us kind of go through phases in life where we feel like we're kind of just going through the motions. How to be happier, I feel like what that more so sounds like is whenever I find I'm going through the motions, I feel like I'm not tuned into what I'm actually doing. I'm not presently aware. I'm not kind of giving my full undivided attention to my life, or I don't want to. Those are usually like the two mindsets that I feel like puts me in the place of going through the motions. So the reason why in those instances you might not be feeling happier is because you're either one, feeling like you're attention is being split somewhere else. So maybe you're doing something, but you wish you were doing something else, or, you know, you're at work, but you're thinking about something going on in your personal life. It could be a bunch of different things, or it could be that whatever it is that's going on in your day-to-day life isn't really captivating you enough that it's pulling your attention. And so you find that you're just kind of like rolling through on autopilot. So there's this book that I'm reading right now, it's called Flow. And one of the ways that it talks about actually getting out of autopilot, how people that do the exact same thing every single day, but are some of the happiest people ever, basically what it boils down to is constantly giving yourself like a goal or a little challenge, even in the more like minute things of our day to day that we have to do. For instance, something that I tweeted recently saying that I wanted to snap my fingers and have my hair and makeup done. Why? Because listen, I'm a girl and I am the girliest of girls in some ways, but for some reason, doing my makeup has never been something that I'm like, yes, can't wait to do this. Unless I'm going somewhere like super, you know, fancy or like I get to really get dolled up. So doing my day-to-day makeup is just like, I don't like to do it, but I do. It's just this weird in-between where I'm not necessarily enjoying myself. And so I feel like I'm kind of just going through the motions. So I've kind of taken this whole practice from Flow of each time I sit down to do my makeup, I challenge myself to either one, you know, try a new look off of like Pinterest or just get inspo from somewhere and try and recreate it. Or two, if I'm feeling like I just want to kind of do my everyday, then I've been instead going and listening to like little mini condensed audiobooks and trying to learn something before I go into my day. So before the time I'm done my makeup, what is the thing that I've learned or like the mantra that I've got or whatever it is, like a new piece of information to take into my day. And that kind of creates, you know, like a little bit of more me time, or it creates more of an incentive and a goal, which is then getting my emotions involved. It's getting my inspiration, my motivation involved, and then it's making the whole experience more enjoyable. Now, if you were to take that and then do that to all of the little parts of your day that you feel like you're kind of just going through the motions, let's say you challenge yourself to learn one new person's name every single day, or you challenge yourself to try a different coffee spot if you're someone that works at home and feels like you're getting a little bit of cabin fever. Like, there's so many little ways that we can set new goals and little challenges without actually changing too much of our lives. We don't need a life makeover to be happier. I think that we just need to become more consciously aware and attuned to what actually is the reality of our lives so that we can see all of the little pockets of happy that are kind of sitting there waiting for us. Anyways, that would be my response. Next question. Somebody asked, is it better to be single or in a relationship? I want to date, but I'm too scared of getting hurt. Okay, that's a very interesting question because I feel like one or the other isn't necessarily better. And I think that there's not one universal answer for everybody. I think that we all kind of know in ourselves where we're at most times, right? Like if you take a few minutes to sit and meditate, if you've never done it before, or if you are like someone that regularly meditates, either way, it doesn't matter because as soon as you take any kind of time to sit with yourself and to ask yourself where you're at with life, you're gonna get an answer. And that answer is your gut instinct, that's your intuition. So whether it's better to be a single or in a relationship, I would say that in my experience in life, all of my relationships have taught me so much, and I have gotten so many amazing and beautiful and cherished memories out of my relationships, and also amazing and beautiful and cherished relationships that taught me about, you know, what I am looking for in a partner, what I'm not looking for in a partner. And I think that all of the times I was in relationships, I never regretted it or wanted to be single. That said, when I'm single, I do think that, you know, the grass can always seem greener. It can always seem better when you're in a relationship to have your freedom of being single. And it can always seem better when you're single to have that companionship of a relationship. My answer to whether or not one or the other is better, I think, is going to be different depending on who it is watching. If you're somebody that feels like, you know, you've got everything kind of going in your life and you really are at a place where you're looking for somebody to come in and be your teammate, to be your confidant, to be that light partner that you take on with you and that you kind of conquer the world with, then, I mean, it might be better for you to be in a relationship, but I don't think that we should ever feel like incomplete without someone else. You know what I mean? I think that we need to know how to feel complete on our own while also being okay with leaving space in our lives for other people. That said, is it better to be in a relationship? Well, not necessarily either, because I think that if you're in the wrong relationship, it's better to be single. If you're in the right relationship, it's better to be in a relationship. That's my answer. Okay, so let me rephrase that one more time because I feel like I went a little all over the place on that question. Is it better to be in a relationship or single? I think if you're in the wrong relationship or if you aren't ready for a relationship, it's better to be single. I think that if you are ready for a relationship and you found the right person, it's better to be in a relationship, or it's nice to be in a relationship, but you always have the choice and there's nothing wrong with, you know, staying single and waiting until you really find someone that's worth it. Next question. Okay, so the next question is, how far do you take believing in your zodiac sign? So this is something that I was actually talking about recently. My stance on horoscopes, zodiacs, astrology, I think that my stance on most things in life, actually, most things that can't be scientifically proven, at least yet, would be that you get what you take from anything in life. And that can go from things that are scientifically proven to not, to conspiracy theories, to astrology, to tarot, to spirituality, to even religion, and like all of the things in between. I think that when you believe too much in something, you can sometimes blind yourself. So I believe in just keeping an open mind. And also, I think that when it comes to things like astrology and such, I guess to keep a light heart, to keep an open mind and a light heart. Because first of all, I think that a lot of the times things can get muddied by people's opinions. And that's just generally because we've all lived different lives. So everybody's going to take in information and they're going to register it differently. And then they're going to use that information in a way that suits them best. And that's why I think that it's kind of a chaotically beautiful thing that we all do believe such contrasting things. Like there will be somebody that would say they 100% believe in astrology. There will be somebody that will say that they believe it's bogus. And then I feel like I'm a little drifter in between somewhere along that scale. That's just kind of like, I think it's cool to learn about. And there's things that I identify with in my birth chart, but do I, like, you know, make giant life decisions off of it? No. And am I going to let it stop me if I wake up and I'm in a good mood and my horoscope's like, you're going to have a shitty day? No, I'm going to try really hard not to, but that's kind of the mind game. You know, you get what you take. So if you go into astrology or anything under that umbrella and you're going into it looking for a certain answer, you're going to find it. But all you're really kind of doing is playing with your subconscious. All you're really kind of doing is just, you know, reflecting back messages that you're giving yourself. And so when it comes to astrology, yes, is it written by someone else? Is it because that I was born February 28th and that I'm a Pisces and that the time of day put me at a Libra moon that I'm indecisive, dreamy, and adaptable by nature? I couldn't tell you. Do I identify with those things? Yes. Are there things within my astrology sign that I don't identify with? A few things, but still, it's kind of just for fun. I'm not taking it so seriously that I need to, like, you know, kind of border my life with it. That would be my honest, like, over-encompassing answer on things like astrology and horoscopes and zodiac signs. But I think it's fun, you know? It's nothing like waking up in the morning, making your morning coffee, and reading your daily horoscope. There's something, it's like, instead of reading the morning paper, that's what I choose to do.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, so I've got a question about how to enforce self-discipline. I think that this is another one that my idea of self-discipline has expanded and changed over the last little bit, because I think that just like anything, if you fall too far into something, it can become unhealthy. And so for where I'm at in life, I believe that self-discipline is obviously needed. We all need to be disciplined enough that we can get through our days and get done the things that we need to get done. But in terms of how to empower it in yourself, from my experience, the times that I felt most disciplined, but in a way that didn't feel like harboring in any kind of way, like I was being like reprimanded if I didn't do something or felt like I had to, was when I was able to basically align my goals with my values and my principles, like the principles I want to live life through. So if you have a goal that doesn't necessarily line up with your values, it's going to be really hard to get yourself disciplined to get up and do the habits that feed into the success of that goal. But if you have a goal that does align with your values and it does align with like your higher purpose and the things that you believe in, then self-discipline tends to kind of follow naturally because it's something that you want to be doing. It's something that aligns with who you are. So how do we use that in a way that's a bit more tangible? So let's say you want to wake up earlier in the morning. Your reason for why you want to wake up in the morning needs to align with one of your values, one of your principles, one of the things you're trying to manifest in your life. Otherwise, waking up in the morning is just not, it's not going to have any value to you. And because it has no value, the minute your alarm goes off, off, you're just gonna go back to sleep. Same thing with working out, same thing with trying to read every day, same thing with trying to write a book. Like, if you wanna write a book just solely because you wanna say you wrote a book, then that's not gonna be enough to actually give you the discipline to write the book. But if you wanna write a book because you love the value of, you know, storytelling and being creative and using your words and sharing your thoughts, then those values get built into that goal. And then showing up for that goal is easy because you're like, this isn't about me trying to prove a point. This is about me expressing myself. Or this isn't about me trying to lose weight so that I am, you know, accepted. It's about me showing up for myself and being healthy and taking care of my body. Or this isn't about me making X amount of dollars so that I can push myself into some sort of, you know, hierarchy of like being rich and whatever. It's about wanting to earn enough that I can live a life comfortably and then also give back and donate and be charitable in some kind of way, you know? So I think that depending on what your goal is, depending on what you're trying to be self-disciplined in, if you can basically align that thing or find a way to connect it to something that you find valuable about life or valuable about yourself or an experience, a principle, or anything of the sort that you really do cherish naturally and without question in life, then you'll be able to find discipline or at least self-discipline a lot easier. This next question is, how can a person gain back their confidence from the zero and learn to love yourself? Okay. I think that confidence is kind of like a muscle. And the more you work out that muscle, obviously the stronger it's going to get. So if you feel like you're starting at zero, then the best part about that is it's going to be easy in the beginning to start to flex that muscle and grow it out. But how exactly do you do that? I think that anytime that we show up and do something that makes us feel like we've accomplished something that kind of, you know, forced us to use our unique traits, our unique qualities and show up and basically challenge ourselves, and then we push through it and we get a win on the other side, we gain a little bit of confidence, even if that win is as small as just waking up on time. It could literally be that small. It could be tomorrow, my only thing that I need to do for me to feel like I had a little win is just to wake up on time and not fall back asleep. The minute you do that, the minute that you get out of bed and all of a sudden it's like 10 minutes later and you're brushing your teeth and you're like, whoa, I just did that. I said I was going to do something. I made a promise to myself and then I showed up and I accomplished that promise and it was challenging, but I pushed through those challenges. I feel really good. So that little feeling of I feel really good can then start to grow, and that's that muscle. So then the next challenge will be, you know, I want to wake up on time and I would like to meditate for 5 minutes. And then you can always build off of your life and make it a little bit better each day by the smallest incremental steps. And for each tiny like incremental step that you take that's a little bit better or that pushes you along your way in growing as an individual and in growing as who you are, the unique soul that you are, I think that that's when we learn to gain confidence in who we are and we start to feel like we can do whatever it is that we set our minds to, whatever it is that we want to accomplish. And that is where I believe a lot of our confidence comes from, because when you show up in any situation and you feel like you're not, it's a mountain that you can't climb, that's what's going to make you feel small and insecure. And the more mountains you stick around that make you feel small and insecure, and even if they're mental mountains, they could be giant goals or giant standards that you're holding yourself up against. These are the mountains that we've officially made it impossible for us to climb, and thus we constantly wake up and just kind of go through these routines of feeling like crap about ourselves, and all of our confidence gets burned away. So I think that when you make the mountain a little smaller, make your mountain as small as you need to so that you can climb it and challenge yourself, though you do need your mountain to be a little challenging, and then climb that mountain, get down on the other side, see how you feel, and then bring your mountain up a little higher, then bring it up a little higher, and keep doing that until you find, you know, that sense of competence in yourself, which will then translate into a sense of confidence of yourself or for yourself or with yourself. Okay, so the next question is, what is your favorite thing about Christmas/winter? And what are you looking most forward to? So, okay, it recently snowed. I'm a little sad because it's super sunny out today, so all the snow is melting away, which is breaking my heart a little bit. But I would definitely say I love the feeling of being at home, like being inside and looking outside and there just being just heaps of snow. That is like the opening of the doorway to allowing myself to become as cozy as humanly possible. So I feel like every time that it's winter or anytime it snows, or especially the first snowfall of every year, I feel like it's always just like I've arrived back home to cozy season and it's time to just like jump right in. So that would be my favorite thing about winter. My favorite thing about Christmas is definitely just like everyone just being in a jolly mood. You're getting around everybody that you love. Everybody gets to see each other. Everybody gets to celebrate. And I just love that. I love the just joy, like that warmth of Christmas. And so what am I looking most forward to? I think the fact that I feel like I'm in a very different mental place than I've been in other years around this time of the year. November used to be a month that always kind of not scared me, but I feel like it was a month that always felt really heavy to me. The first person in my entire, like growing up, the first death I ever dealt with was of my grandmother on my mom's side, and she had passed away in November. And so that kind of threw me off a little bit when I was younger. It threw me off a lot, but I just mean like it kind of already set a tone for November. And then when my papa died, he ended up dying the exact same day a few years later. So that also added into like the gloominess of November. And then just, you know, it's after Halloween, and all of these things started to build into this thing that kind of like created this weird anxiety slash like depression state or trigger that November always seemed to bring to me in other years. And this year I don't feel that anymore, and I think that it's because I've done a lot of like mental work on myself in the last year, but also too, I have started to really grow to appreciate the things that come with winter and accept a lot of things that come with winter and like make the most out of Christmas and winter. So I think this year I'm excited about a lot of the very simple things because I've always been so afraid of this time of year. So this year I'm literally just excited for Christmas. I was way too excited about the first snowfall. Like I got, like, I don't know what happened, but it made my soul literally sparkle. I think I had like 6 cups of coffee yesterday solely just because I wanted to be drinking warm things. A couple of them were decaf, don't worry about it. But I was literally just like, every hour on the hour, I'd look outside and I would feel a warm fuzz come over me, and I would want to drink that warm fuzz and just be in fuzzy socks. And it just put me in the best mood. I feel like it's just truly the little things of winter and Christmas this year that I'm most excited about. I'm also thinking about trying to take Benny on a little Christmas trip before Christmas this year. So another little thing to maybe look forward to if I can make it happen.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a good question. Okay, I always want to go say your guys' names, but I understand that some of these might be, I kind of did this so you guys could stay anonymous. So excuse me. What do you do when you feel unconnected to your spirit? Another great question. It's a great question because, again, I feel like this year I felt like I was going through big phases of being super connected to my spirit and big phases where I felt unconnected to it. During the times where I don't feel necessarily connected to my spirit, what that means or what that feels like to me is I just feel off center in my body. I feel it in my mind. I feel it in my emotions. I feel it in my energy. And I just feel like everything's kind of at conflict with itself. For instance, like, you know, the energy that I have for the day might be at conflict with how mentally tired I feel, which might be in conflict with, you know, my sense of like my intuition and my sense of inner guidance. It might just all kind of feel off. And those times aren't easy to kind of deal with because I think that for one, especially if you aren't really noticing that that's happening, then you kind of just feel like you're being pulled a million different ways or being pulled through like the ringer and that life's kind of just like throwing you curveballs every 2 seconds. So I would definitely say the first thing is I try to be aware of it. I try and acknowledge it. I try and see it for what it is and just be like, okay, this isn't how, like, this doesn't feel good, or for whatever reason, I feel off. And the minute that I'm able to acknowledge it, I feel like that helps a little bit, because even if I can't change what's happening or I can't change the feeling, I can sit back a little bit into that, you know, we can always kind of come back up here. We can always come back to a objective view on life. No one can ever take that away from you. And that is something you can have every time you meditate, every time you just need a safe place in the day, or if you're going through a rough time in your life in general. I think that there's always going to be a mental place that you can go in your mind that is like a happy place or an objective place to look at your life. And so even during the times that I feel most disconnected and more just off, like not myself than usual, I think that the minute I can see it and the minute I can catch that that's happening, I try and spend more time in that objective place of this will eventually all tie into something, or, you know, you can't stay here. It won't feel like this for long. And instead just kind of try and ride it out and consciously stay aware of the fact that that's just where I'm at, and be a little bit more patient with myself, be a little bit more compassionate, which actually in turn I find during those times I'm more easily patient and compassionate with other people. So there are little pros to the times that I feel like I'm out of balance and not connected. Whenever we aren't fully, you know, in the flow, I guess you might say, we're being constantly shown a lot of mirrors, a lot of challenges, a lot of things that we need to kind of work through and grow through. And it can be tiring and it can be hard and it can weigh on you if you let it. But I think that also, if you really sit back and watch yourself, if you really sit back and take in how much better you handle with a situation that you would have handled way differently or way worse prior to, you can start to catch those behaviors and those waves of feeling off center earlier and kind of lean back into it and lean in to feeling centered again by basically accepting that you aren't centered. Does that make sense? That was kind of like a mind skew, if you will, but I feel like that would be the best way. Whenever I'm feeling off center, I feel like just becoming aware of it and then trying to just kind of sit back, be patient, be kind, and just kind of wait it out a little bit, and things will eventually start to flow back into a more calm-like state with a good life lesson to take with you. Okay, so I'm gonna end on this question because I have a very honest answer to it, and I feel like it might be, I don't know, I just feel like we've been talking for a while, so we'll end on this one. Do you ever get lonely? So I also want to answer this because I feel like we're going into hermit season, and I say that as a very proud hermit. I love winter because I feel like it's the perfect time to kind of pull away from the world a little bit, you know, and take stock and come inwards and work on ourselves. And that's kind of always been, or at least felt natural to me during winter seasons. And one thing that I think is different again this year as opposed to other years is that I've done a lot of therapy. I've done a lot of like mental work on myself this year because there are limiting behaviors that I think used to hold me back even when I had the best of intentions. And one of them was definitely hermiting. Like I felt like I always kind of isolated myself away from people and told myself that that sense of independence and that sense of not needing anybody was like a strength of mine. When it took like a good long year of working that knot out, I found out that it's actually one of my biggest weaknesses, because yeah, I do get lonely. I feel like anyone that is or might relate to, I feel like I identify, okay, fuck, I am all over the place, Mike Kelly. I'm so sorry you have to edit this. Let's cut to this. I tend to identify with being a bit more of an introvert than an extrovert. Can I be extroverted in situations, in social situations? Absolutely. I feel like I love interacting with other people and I love kind of challenging myself to get to know somebody. I love that. I feel like it really helps my brain expand and grow. But by nature, I prefer to be alone. And that is something that I just kind of, that's just kind of who I am. I love spending time listening to music. I like creating things. I love to read. I love to cook. I love to do a lot of things in my own company, just kind of in my own headspace. And so for the longest time, I used to not let myself believe that I needed anything other than that, because that then I would be admitting that I was lonely or that that headspace wasn't a happy place for me. But it's instead, I think, a balance. And so do I ever get lonely? Absolutely. I think that all of us need other humans. We need communication. We need connection. We need human interdependence in order to, I think, really live a fulfilled life. And in order to kind of, you know, give away a lot of the things that we are doing and learning and loving. And I think that that is such an important thing to be okay with, but also an important thing to learn how to balance, because I think that whether you spend way too much time with other people or way too much time by yourself, first of all, there's no actual scale of that that anyone can really give you, because it all comes again from like the individual and who you are as a person. But I think when you know you're spending too much time alone, which is pretty much the case that I've been in before in my life, it's when, you know, spending that time in my own headspace and like the cooking and the cleaning and the all that and the reading and the kind of going for walks with Bentley starts to feel a little less joyful, and it starts to feel a little bit more like cabin fever, like I'm kind of feeling a little too constricted in my life. That's usually a sign now for me, like, oh, hey, it might be time to kind of, you know, get out in the world a little bit more. I think that we're often shown the examples of, you know, be surrounded by a bunch of people all the time, like living the best life, like doing the most, never by yourself. Or if you are like someone that tends to spend a lot of time by yourself, it's always the person that's like the hustler, the grinder, the person that's like waking up at 5 a.m. every day to go to their workout, to go do this, to go to that. And I think that those two lifestyles are kind of at the forefront right now, at least on from my experience, is what I'm seeing a lot of. And so I think that there needs to be a voice made for those of us, all of us in the in-between of those two things, where it's like sometimes you want to be surrounded by a bunch of people and sometimes you want to be by yourself hustling and grinding it out. And then sometimes too, you just want to be in that in-between spot where maybe you're not hustling, but you are enjoying your time alone, or you're not surrounded by 1,000 friends. You're surrounded by one or two really good people and company. And I think that that in-between is more often where we should, or where we do spend most of our time. It's just not feeling guilty or feeling like you're missing out on this or feeling like you should be doing that, you know? I don't know if anyone else will relate to that. I just feel like that's kind of like a big lesson I've learned in 2019, is that it's okay to love your alone time, and it's okay to be on your own. There's nothing wrong with it. You're not missing anything in your life. You're not half full because you don't have someone else with you all the time. At the exact same time, it is okay to then also need other people. It is okay to then also let other people in and to communicate with other people, connect with other people, and stay, you know, a big part of society while also staying a big part of yourself, or staying yourself. And so that answer, I know, was not really necessarily the question of do you ever get lonely. The answer to that is absolutely. I think we all get lonely at times. So especially now that we're heading into the winter season, just don't leave yourself lonely. You know, keep plans going with friends, but also enjoy the fact that we are officially entering a good little hermit season. It's okay to kind of cozy on up inside of yourself and in your soul for a few months, maybe, as long as you're still staying on the map with other people. And thus, I think that that's like the healthy balance of not getting lonely, at least in my opinion. So there you guys have it. That is this week's Coffee Talk. I hope you guys enjoyed. Be sure to follow my socials if you guys do want to get in on the next Q&A. I feel like this was a really interesting like thought starter way for me to, one, know what you guys want to talk about, but also two, to answer a lot of different, you know, varieties of questions in one segment. So be sure you guys stick around, turn on the notification bell, and check back next Monday for the next Coffee Talk. And aside from that, I'll talk to you, all of you guys, then. Bye, guys.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
These days, you can't go anywhere on the internet without running into the most horrible takes.
You know, your good old-fashioned homophobes or your self-proclaimed alpha males who are writing two-page articles titled How to Score the Perfect Female in 10 Days.
If you are just as sick of these outdated takes as we are, you will love our podcast, Outspoken, hosted by me, Sam Collins, and my incredible partner, Shannon.
We are an LGBT couple who have seen it all, been called it all, and are ready to take on the never-ending world of outrageous online opinions.
Each week, we bring you the most ridiculous videos, hot takes, and hellbent news we come across on the internet.
So come laugh with us as we dismantle outdated ideologies and tear apart the most confident idiots on the internet on our podcast, Outspoken.
You can follow and listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you are listening right now.